Our YouTube is running too, Tato. Okay, thank you. Aloha mai kako. My name is Don Chang, and I am chair of the Board of Land and Natural Resources. I've been away for a little while, so it's nice to be back. Thank you. This is the May 22nd, 2026 meeting of the board, and it's 9:05 a.m. I'm going to go over some public meeting protocols before we begin the official meeting. We're holding this meeting as a hybrid meeting. Some of us are in person in the Kalani Moku boardroom in Honolulu, and we're also holding this meeting remotely via Zoom. In addition, it can be watched live on YouTube. For those testifying via Zoom, we will move you into the waiting room when the board hears the item you signed up to testify on. Please remember to mute your YouTube when you enter the Zoom meeting, or we will get an echo. When you enter the Zoom room, please keep your camera off and microphone muted until the chair calls on you for your testimony. The chat box is not to be used for any comments because that presents the sunshine issue. However, the board secretary may message you via the chat box to ask which item you wish to testify on, so you can be led into the meeting at the appropriate time. Presentations by staff and comments by applicants are limited to 5 minutes each. We ask members of the public testifying on agenda items to limit their testimony to no more than 2 minutes. Testifiers will not be allowed to relinquish their time to others, and I apologize in advance if I have to ask you to summarize your testimony. We have received testimony via email, and you can stand on your testimony, as the board members have reviewed all of them, have reviewed the testimonies that were submitted. Please address your comments to the board and not to the project applicant. Next to me is board member Smith, who is our timer, and he will keep track of the time and give you 30-second warning. At 2 minutes, I will ask you to stop testifying as I would like to move on to the next testifier. Adhering to these guidelines will enable all of those present to be able to share their thoughts and concerns. Before starting your testimony, please clearly state your name and identify yourself for the record. We may be taking breaks. On occasion, or as needed. Okay, I'm going to read the standard contested case statement. In some of the matters before the board, a person may wish to request a contested case hearing. If such a request is made before the board's decision, then the board will consider the request first before considering the merits of the item before it. A person who wants a contested case may also wait until the board decides the issue, then request a contested case after the decision, but before the close of the board meeting. It is up to you. Any request must also be made in writing within 10 calendar days. If no request for contested case is made, the board will make a decision. The department will treat the decision as final and proceed accordingly. In addition, the board may go into executive session pursuant to HRS section 92-5, subparagraph A4, in order to consult with its attorney on questions and issues pertaining to the board's powers, duties, privileges, immunities, and liabilities. I am now going to take roll call of the board members. If you are participating via Zoom, please acknowledge if anyone is in the room with you, and please provide their names. I will start off with board member Carpio.
Here. Aloha, James Carpio, Maui Nui.
Thank you.
Good morning, Karen Ono, Kauai member.
Aloha, Riley Smith, Hawaii Island board member.
Aloha and good morning, Denise Isari Matsubara, Oahu member.
Calvin?
Good morning, Calvin Young at large, and no one else who is with me in this room.
Thank you. Ka'iwi?
Aloha kakaiaka, Ka'iwi Bilinar at large, nobody else is with me in this room.
Thank you very much. I'd also like to acknowledge the board secretary, Tasha Kakuda, and our deputy attorney general today is Cindy Young. Regarding agenda items, we generally hear the items in order unless there's been a request for an item to be moved up. We did not receive any move-up items, so we're going to take the agenda as we will take the order as agendized. The first order of business is item A1, approval of the May 8, 2026 minutes. Board members, are there any questions or comments on the May 8th summary minutes? Seeing none, is there anybody in the boardroom who would like to provide a comment on item A1? Tasha, is there anyone in Zoom? No. Okay, I'm going to close public comments. Board members, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve is circulated.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, since this is the first vote, I'm going to ask Tasha to do a roll call.
Member Carfield?
Aye.
Member Ono?
Aye.
Chair Chang?
I'm going to recuse myself as I did not participate in this meeting. Thank you.
Member Smith?
Aye.
Member Matsubara?
Aye.
Online, Member Yim?
Aye.
And Member Yim?
Recuse, I wasn't there for the full meeting.
Motion passes with one, two, three, four, five votes. That's what we need. Thank you very much. We're going to now move on to the next item on the agenda. It's item C1, the Division of Forestry and Wildlife. David, would you like to come up?
All right, Dave Penn. Is Dave Penn here? I don't know. He needs to help with this.
Oh, he might be Legacy Land. Is that David?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay,
Okay.
Dave's the technical master on this stuff. This is a very technical matter. We're bringing it back to the board. We actually have approval to enter into the to purchase this property, but the city wants to have this non-disturbance and internment agreement because they're going to be the CE holder, the easement holder on this. So we're coming back to the board. The AG's office suggested that we get board approval for this particular item. So recommending that the board approve the board's entry into a non-disturbance and internment agreement regarding distribution of sales proceeds and consent with Hokuaina and the city to facilitate the acquisition of approximately 116 acres. So Hokuaina, we've broken up the Manawili. We're trying to buy the majority of Manawili Valley. Two parcels are going to nonprofits, Hokuaina and Palawai. And so this is the Hokuaina piece. We're trying to close on that. Close on the 29th. Kind of need to get this done.
It's a little tight.
Working on a deadline here. But it seemed like we had the authority to do it, but the Attorney General's in discussion with the chair decided that it was best to bring it back to the
Better
board.
to be safe than
Yeah,
dead.
for this particular item. It's not our usual is to enter into one of these agreements, the non-disturbance internment agreement. We're okay with it. We've discussed it with the chair. There's a bunch of background. And so the recommendation is we approve the board's entry into the agreement and authorize the chair on behalf of the board to negotiate and execute the non-disturbance internment agreement. I know we have TPL folks here and Dave Penn is, there he is, Dave's here. If you have any questions about it. And so, it's a land legacy. It's supported by land legacy.
And this is part of there's been several acquisitions as part of this. The Manawili.
We have several coming up.
Yeah.
We had another one on the agenda, actually, we had to pull because it had some technical issues between the title and the submittal. So that'll be coming back too. So we're working on really short deadlines. It's a huge monumental thing. Buying Manawili is like huge. It's like, we are swinging for the fence on this one. But we should have bought it back in 1986 when it was like $6 million and it was $30 million. But this is our second bite of the apple, and I still think it would be just a fabulous thing for the public to own this property and for these nonprofits that are showing. I mean, they're doing great work out there. The Hokuaina folks are have already restored a bunch of lo'i land in Manawili, and have fabulous programs going with youth and community, so, and growing food, and it's just great work going on, and we'd like to be able to continue that work. So.
Thank you, David. I mean, I do believe that this is, Legacy Land is probably one of the real feel-good programs of DLNR,
Yeah,
where we have an
absolutely.
opportunity to work with communities and private landowners to make available some of these most significant pieces of land that are consistent with our mission. And more importantly, we can partner up with communities to steward these lands, because otherwise, I mean, we just don't have the resources to do that. But maybe that's a signal.
Time's up.
As long as it's not a fire alarm, it's okay. So thank you very much, David, for the presentation. David Penn, did you want to add anything? David?
Yes, thank you, Chair. David Penn here, staff for the Legacy Land Conservation Program. Nothing to add, but any questions, I'll do my best to help you out.
Thank you very much, David. Board members, do you have any questions for staff? Go ahead,
Chair. You've got one and I got one.
Well, yeah, I just want to understand the purchase. So fee simple appraisal, 5.8 million. The money to purchase is coming out of your program. City is paying for the easement. The purchase price then is covered just strictly out of the state, out of the program? Or the city is contributing for this purchase so that they can have an easement?
They're contributing and they're holding the easement. I believe it's right. Yeah, Dave? Dave's the man.
Yes, that's correct. Our grant award goes towards the purchase of the fee simple title only, and the city's money from its Clean Water and Natural Lands Fund is provided to help, number one, fulfill our matching funds requirement, which is at least 25% of total project's costs, and also because the city interprets its charter as requiring that when the city enters into a deal like this, that it obtain a real property interest, which is the conservation easement. So the city procured an appraisal of the conservation easement value. Our rules require that the chair approve that appraisal, and we've done all of that. And so when you put together the city's money in escrow and our grant to Ho'okua Aina in escrow, that comes out to the full purchase price for this property of 5.28 million, also based on a independent appraisal, review appraisal, and the chair's approval.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
My question is, are the easements required to be recorded with Bureau of Conveyance or not?
I'll let Dave answer that. I believe the answer is yes. Dave, did you hear that?
I'm not sure that it would be required, perhaps in a strictly private transaction, but it is the standard practice for the city program and for our program. So, yes, it will be recorded. We have the grant of conservation easement document that we approve. We're not a party to it, but it does has some of our requirements within that recorded document.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, board members?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, go ahead.
First off, welcome back, Chair. It's good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Chair, for your indulgence, would it be prudent, because we have three new fresh board members, I don't know if it's an IB or some kind of presentation by Legacy Land, because it's such a great program, as you say, but there are a lot of moving parts to any type of acquisition. I hope TPL is there. I mean, they were instrumental from the start with Legacy Land. So I'm sure there are a lot of questions from new board members, but in the spirit of timing, because of, and I agree with Denise's questions, they're all prudent questions. It's just, this is pretty much how Legacy moves, matching with clean water funds from the county and then easement. So just a thought, Chair, for your contemplation.
Raina, did you want to add anything from TPL standpoint? to provide a greater depth in response to Member Yoon's comments?
We are just so excited about this acquisition. It's been a long time coming. This has been a huge effort, a community-led effort on the part of over a dozen conservation, Native Hawaiian-led organizations in Kailua to protect these lands. And yeah, this is sort of somewhat of a technical matter, the city requiring an NDAA, but the in past projects, the chair has signed NDAAs for other projects. And it's really just to ensure that the state and the city are on the same page with regard to the contribution to the purchase price and what would happen if either the fee simple or the conservation easement were ever sold in the future. Yeah.
And Reina, I know you, but could you just introduce yourself for the record?
Aloha, I'm Reina Ramolete Hayashi. I'm a project manager with Trust for Public Land. We are a nonprofit land conservation organization. We've been working in Hawaii for over 50 years. We've protected over 78,000 acres across our islands in partnership with the state, with counties, and with OHA and other Native Hawaiian nonprofits. And we're just so excited to continue the partnership with the Legacy Land Program.
Now, this is a monumental acquisition, but Conservation Legacy Lands is able to exponentially increase its, the protection of many lands through cooperation, like with Trust for Public Lands. So it's been a real, we're able to stretch public funds and private funds to protect as much, these lands as possible. So we've always appreciated the partnership with Trust for Public Lands. Is there anything else,
Yep. I just want to make a comment to staff. Yeah. Thank you very much for providing the exhibits after the fact, but it's always good to have those in the packet.
I agree, and I always tell everybody, forget it. I like having maps too. It's critical.
Yeah, but very good resource. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. A lot of that's put together by TPL. They do beautiful maps, beautiful informational, educational displays about the project. So they're a fabulous partner. I mean, we could not do this without them.
Very much in support of this.
That's what I said. TPL does a lot of things that to support this. Thank you very much. So, board members, are there any other questions? Or Reina, did you want to add anything else to your? Because you had signed up to provide comments.
Just here to answer questions.
Very good. Board members, do you have any other questions for staff or for Reina? Seeing none, I'm going to ask the public, do you have any comments or testimony that you'd like to provide? Okay, seeing none, is there anybody, Tasha, on Zoom? All right, I'm going to close public testimony and I'm going to ask the board, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Motion to approve the board's entry into a non-disturbance and impoundment agreement as presented in item C1 by staff.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second on the motion?
Second.
A motion has been moved and seconded to approve the entrance into the NDAA and the submittal as recommended by the board, by staff. All in favor, please say aye. Okay, board passes unanimously. There were two hands up, both by Commissioner Young and you. So the motion passes unanimously. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Quick, go tell Comptroller.
Yeah, Dave will have the papers on your desk in a couple of hours. Okay, are we going to do, I don't know if we're going to go in order.
We can do C2.
Okay, C2 is pretty quick. Routine, I believe. Okay, C2, again, David Smith, Administrator, Division of Forestry and Wildlife. This is kind of an operational thing, but it's a MOU, so we need to get the board's approval. Request delegation of authority to the administrator or the Division of Forestry and Wildlife. A lot of times we delegate to the chair. But this is kind of an operational matter. I do have staff here to help out, but It's a MOU between DLNR DOFA, Division of Forest and Wildlife, and the Department of Health for emergency evacuation of rare and endangered native invertebrates. So we have a really state-of-the-art native invertebrate facility that has a bunch of rare snails, sometimes the last of their species left in the world because they are unique to Hawaii. And we keep them, it's a program we've put together, and we keep them in essentially trailers, or temporary facilities, somewhat temporary facilities, which are pretty secure. But when we have a big hurricane or a major storm event come in, the staff will usually evacuate those animals to a secure facility. So they have brought them from Kauinui Marsh down here to Kalanimoku before, and they are incredibly dedicated, and they'll move these things in the middle of the night if that's what it takes. But right now, they're up at Waimano now, the Department of Health facility up there. So they have some land, they got to deal with them to have some facilities up there. And Department of Health has some secure facilities up there. And so we just want to get into an MOU with them so that if inclement weather were coming, we were afraid that there might be some problem with the facilities that we have, that we can move them into a hardened facility to ride out a severe storm, a hurricane, severe storm, catastrophic weather. So that's what the MOU is about.
And
And we do have staff here if anybody has any questions.
this is intended to be a temporary, and
It
hopefully
would
we
be
will.
absolutely temporary. It's just till the storm blows over and then we move back.
But we hope to also build a permanent facility, hopefully over at HPU.
We would like to, yes. Yes, we're working on that. And the facilities are good. Like even Kauinui, which was like, it was, trailers essentially. But they were fine. They survived at least one severe storm over there where they moved them all out, brought them in, and it was okay. But we're just afraid, something gets torn up by the wind or a giant branch falls. Like there's a huge monkey pod hanging over the trailers. We're just afraid something might happen. And some of these things, like literally, are the last of their kind. And so they are very conservative when it comes to potential threats.
Nope. Thank you very much, David. Board members, you have any questions for staff on item C2? Yes, Riley.
Steve, I think this is important for all of us to understand what invertebrates are.
Oh yeah, invertebrates
And how much
are,
space it takes. I mean, is this like a container or?
Well, let me have Janice come up because we have staff here, and Janice is our entomologist, and she does fabulous work and is in charge of this program. So,
Good morning,
Good
Chair
morning.
and Board. I'm Janice Matsunaga, entomologist with Division of Forestry and Wildlife, and my colleague David Sisko, who's our malacologist in charge of our native snails, is online as well. But so when it comes to invertebrates, our focus in Division of Forestry and Wildlife are our endemic kahuli snails and arthropods, which are insects and their close relatives. So right now, for the insect side, we have a couple of endangered listed pinopino damselflies, and we also have other rare invertebrates that are not listed but are still extremely rare in our facilities. And we do have some outdoor rearing spaces for our damselflies because they are aquatic, which take up a little more space. But we, in the case of an emergency, we have just a few little containers which you keep in an environmental chamber. So it's like a big refrigerator. So a couple of big refrigerators full of at least the insects. And David can speak to the snails, but so for the insects, it's not that much space at all. And it's just very temporary moving it throughout the storm. But David has a little more snails if he wants to explain that.
And on the most basic level, invertebrates are animals without backbones, right?
Yes,
So
that's right. Sorry, correct.
that. And you got to be careful. You can't call everything bugs because bugs are a particular type of invertebrate, and not every invertebrate is a bug. So, anyway, David is an absolute rock star running this program, and we'll let him provide any input he wants.
David, you want to provide us any additional information?
Sure. Aloha, Board. I'm Dave Sisko. I'm a wildlife biologist with DOFA, and I coordinate the Snail Extinction Prevention Program. Dave and Janice mostly said everything important, but I'll just reiterate, for the snail side, we have about 40 species from six islands that are critically imperiled. A lot of them are extinct in the wild and don't exist anywhere except inside of our trailer. So pretty critical. It's kind of like an emergency room for a species. And it is not entirely safe to move them all. There's issues with pathogens and stuff when we start moving things around and stress, but changing temperatures and things. And so by having a facility that's so close that we can move them to, we can really hold off until kind of the last minute when we really have to move, which is beneficial. If we have to move them to Kalanimoku, for example, we would have to start well ahead of the storm. It would probably take us 10 to 12 hours to move everything at this point, to Kalanimoku, and the chance that we would move everything in the storm shifts, and we've done all of this for nothing and endangered the animals by moving them, is not great. So if we can put the brakes in and wait to the last minute until it's absolutely necessary for us to get out of there, it really is beneficial for us. So we are very thankful to the Department of Health for offering up some space in a basement that's safe that we can move to.
Thank you, David. And I'd like to acknowledge that David was recognized as an employee of the year, given all of the work that he's done, in particular with the protection and preservations of the Kahuli. Thank you. Board members, do you have any other questions for staff? Kaivi?
I do. Thank you, Chair. David, are we working with Bishop Museum Malacology?
We are, yes, and we actually funded a laboratory at the Bishop Museum and at the Honolulu Zoo, because what we rear is so risky, and we're beginning the process of subdividing our critical population so that they're not all in one space. So yes, you're exactly right. We do work with
Are
the
we?
Bishop Museum and the zoo.
Thank you. And what kind of attention are we promoting? Maybe this is for another person, but legislatively, because snails, I don't think people realize that snails as caretakers, they decompose plant matter to make nutrient-rich soil, right? So they go, we go, right? So there's never been enough, in my opinion, attention on malacology and snails and the absolute fragile nature of where we're at. So we're talking about temporary structures and portables. David, do you think there's anything more permanent in the works for the future to secure our snails?
100%, yes. The acquisition of the HPU campus would be a permanent home for us. And it would, I'm not sure folks realize it, but the second floor is proposed for captive rearing laboratories for insect snails and a seed storage lab and a micropropagation lab for plants. And it would be a corridor of literally hundreds of the rarest animals on earth would be in that building. And it would be a much better situation than where we're at now, in trailers. Our trailers are great, but as Dave mentioned, if we get a category 4 or 5, it's not safe to keep the animals in here. And we have a really low tolerance for risk just because of what's at stake. So moving to a building like HPU that's hardened, that's not going to be impacted by wind. And has backup power would be a total game changer for our operations and would be a permanent home.
Yeah, do you know the approximate time frame as to when that transition might happen?
I have no idea. I believe DOFA is still in the process of acquiring the property.
So we've been working on that, and we've been in discussions with the owner, Adventus, and we've been moving forward on due diligence. The legislature has provided DLNR the funds for the due diligence and the acquisition. So, yes, there's been a lot of effort on this. And I guess I also wanted to acknowledge, David, was it last year the year of the Kahuli, or was it the year before?
It was the year before, I believe it's
Yeah.
2024. Yeah, we've put a lot of effort into partnerships and trying to grow public awareness because our snail fauna are disappearing so quickly, and people really only care about what they know exists. And So we have a festival at the Bishop Museum now, and both of the captive rearing laboratories at the zoo and the Bishop Museum are public facing, so people can actually see the work happening in real time, which is cool.
Awesome.
Thank you
Great
for the
job,
stickers.
David.
I should
Thank
have
you.
brought.
Yeah, no.
We have Gooley stickers that I should have brought.
Yeah, that's right. We should have brought some of those. Are the board members, do you have any additional questions for staff?
Just a clarifying question. So is DLNR going to acquire the HBU campus, or is DOH
No,
acquiring the
DLNR is
campus?
going to acquire. DOH, there is a restrictive covenant which would not permit all of DOH to move. So as a result, DLNR has stepped up, and we can acquire. We have more than enough needs to acquire the entire
Campus.
campus. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're now. So the focus now is now being shifted to DLNR.
Thank you for that clarity.
Thank you.
Yeah, the deed required very, its health and environment. And so the trustees decided that if you had a very close nexus between what was going on there and actual work going on the ground with environmental protection, that that would qualify, but that just simply administrative offices would not. So we're going to move programs like this. They're doing active conservation work
Because that's
into that
conservation, though,
facility.
right? All of that. Okay.
And perhaps at one point in time, and I appreciate the question, we will do a briefing to the land board on the HPU acquisition because it is intended to move a considerable staff movement. All of DoCare, their academy will be there, DOFA, Division of Boating and Ocean, DOBAR will be there. They hope to have a public facing, but as well as SHPD. And so it is a monumental acquisition for the department, and we've got legislative support on this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank you for
Chair. I was trying to tease that out, but I didn't know if you wanted us to say anything. So thank you for disclosing. It's
Yeah.
exciting.
So we'll do a more formal
Thank
presentation.
you. Because the last I had heard, because I was involved with some of the discussions with Adventist, Department of Health was interested. So thank you for that clarity.
And that was the original legislation, because DOH needs to move out of their facility. So, but because they couldn't all move to HPU, DOH made a decision to find an alternative site. So then I stepped in and said, DLNR could take the site. I mean, we could move, like I said, a considerable amount of our staff. We are maxed out. But it's also an opportunity to provide a space for community members. There's a huge cafeteria, a lot of open space. So it is consistent with DLNR's mission, that space. So I think the community, I think the Kaneohe Kailua community would support it. We've done two presentations, Kailua Neighborhood Board and Kaneohe Neighborhood Board. We've had total support.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thanks for
well,
that
thank you
clarity.
for the question. Okay, is there any other question to staff on item C2? Okay. Thank you. Anybody in the boardroom on item C2? Anyone on Zoom? I'm going to close public testimony. Board members, do I have a motion on item C2?
Motion to authorize the DOFA administrator to negotiate and enter into an MOU as stated in item C2.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. A motion has been moved and second to approve staff's recommendation on item two C2. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously with everyone's hands raised. Item C3 has been withdrawn. So thank you very much, David. We're going to move on to item D. David.
See you.
David. Tell David Penn, comptroller, that the board approved it.
Sure.
All right, CG item, we'll move on to the land division items.
Right. Good morning, Chair,
Good
members of the
morning.
board. Item D1, I am going to refer to Candace Martin to
Okay.
present.
Oh, there she
Yes,
is.
sir.
Big Island District Land Agent.
Candace?
Here I am.
Yep, nice to see you, Candace.
You too.
Item D1, could you provide us some background?
Yeah, this is one of those long-standing, we've tried to figure it out over the years kind of thing. There is an abandoned roadway that back in 2017, I believe everybody agreed that we would quit claim the abandoned roadway over to the county of Hawaii, and the county of Hawaii would deal with disposing of the abandoned roadway. So we had everything all drafted up and we sent it to the county to have it signed. And then they had a change of administration in the ensuing period, and the new administration didn't want to accept it. So it's all come back. And so we have worked out an agreement that the state will quit claim its interest to the parties. And that's what is before you today, is pulling back the prior board approval for the quit claim to the county. And now we're quit claiming to the parties adjacent to that are interested in acquiring the abandoned road remnant.
Okay. It's unfortunate that the county changed their position because we can only quit claim our interests.
Right.
And under the Highways Act, we may argue that we don't have an interest. But anyways, I'm sorry. So, is there anything else you want to provide us before the board opens up for questions?
Other than if you have any technical questions, legal type questions, Stuart Fujioka is here to answer those types of questions.
Very good. Thank you so much. Board members, do you have any questions for Candace or staff? Yes, please go ahead.
No, I just want to disclose that the attorney representing the applicants here, I utilized this firm a number of times, and Monica and I have worked on one project previously. I do not feel that's a conflict, and I can vote impartially on this item.
Thank you for the disclosure. Is there anybody seeing there's no board member questions or comments? Is there anybody in the boardroom that would like to provide a comment? Monica, come on out. If you could introduce yourself.
Excuse me. Thank you. Aloha Oko, Monica Trask, on behalf of Alex Leo Malama Solomon and her sister, Miss Solomon, Covington Solomon. I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Real briefly, just like Board Member Smith said, it's always good to have pictures. So I did bring with me today a copy of the April 27, 2018 staff submittal, if I could hand that out to you guys.
Sure.
And I'll direct you to the second and
Thank
third
you.
to the last page. It's the
Thank you.
maps for this area.
Thank you.
You got seven. I mean,
I don't know. Unfortunately, Calvin and Evie were not able to send this, share this with you. Go
it's
ahead,
okay,
Mark.
Chair.
So essentially, if you look at the third to last page, I'm sorry, second to last page, Exhibit B, what you have here is essentially an old wishbone type road in limbo. If you look at it this way, the upper right-hand side terminates at a private property, and the lower left-hand side joins the Kindersley Road. So, Ms. Solomon, there's three parties essentially involved that would benefit for today. Ms. Solomon, my client, her neighbors, the Kanehailuas, who are in Lot B1, as shown in that map, and then the Dowling Family Trust, which is indicated by that Land Court Application 1127 property right there. Behind me is Mr. Fujioka and his colleague, and they're here on behalf of Dowling Family Trust. So what we're doing here is essentially clearing up a roads in limbo issue. And what we would like to, and this is all per, unfortunately, we had to file suit just to keep this thing going. It was just stuck for years. And all the parties, the state, county, and the plaintiffs have resolved it via mediation settlement term sheet. And the private parties are kind of just waiting in advance for this to happen. Then we'll work it out with the remaining two parties. So yeah, real pretty simple. And this is all for access. The property, my client's property was originally acquired by their father, Mr. Solomon, who got the property from the territory after a World War II land grant program for veterans. And we would respectfully request two small amendments to the agenda pursuant to 91.7D. We do not think the following is of reasonably major importance and will not affect a significant number of persons, given that the road is not used, it's not currently open. And that would be one, issuance of an immediate right of entry per the settlement term sheet to allow for the properties to access and the owners to access their property, and subdivision as part of the sale and disposition process pursuant to 17152C. Essentially, what's going to happen is the Dowling Family Trust, that upper right portion of the road at about like where the fork is, the split is going to go to the Dowlings. They're going to pay for that one, effectively one third portion of the cost for the survey and a fee. That will be consolidated into their existing lot. And then the Kanehailuas and the Solomons will split the cost for the remaining two thirds portion of the road so that they can independently access Kindersley Road.
I guess Cindy is
going to the executive session.
Due to the requested amendments, is there a motion to go into executive session?
Okay. Second.
Motion is moved and seconded to go into executive session. So we're going to step out and then we'll be back.
Thank you.
After the settlement term sheet.
We are back on the record. The land board members went into executive session to address duties, privileges, and liabilities related to item D1, the quitclaim deed for this abandoned government roadway. So we are back on the record. Monica, when, I know this is, once you come up, because I think there are several issues that we see here. And I'm going to say I'm probably, this is not necessarily what you want to hear, because you've tried very hard to work with the county. But based upon, I think your settlement agreement contemplates that this is a transaction under 171 public lands. I think legally, the department and the board has taken a position that roadways are either DOT or they're the county. And the fact that it was originally, I haven't seen any of the complaints, but the fact that it was originally, the parties were DOT and the county, there had to have been some acknowledgement that this was being considered a public government road. And between, so I think we could address your quitclaim right now, but we would only be able to quitclaim what we own, what interest we have. We would not be able to amend the agenda item to address one of your issues being an immediate right of entry. Okay.
That's fine. Thank you so much.
Okay. Board members, are you okay with my summary?
I have a quick correction.
Okay.
To me, one of the applicant's name was spelled incorrectly. It should be Raymond Kanehaidua. Okay. It should be Ray. MONDK.
Okay. Close enough. So, would you like us to still proceed on the motion, on the action before us, or do you want to have additional time?
I think I'm proceeding on the item as agendized, and then I can follow up with department and see how we can deal with the rest. Because okay. And also in the settlement agreement, make clear the board is not a party to this lawsuit, and everything is subject to your discretion anyway. So we do appreciate very much you helping to do what you can to move this forward.
Okay.
Did you talk to the other attorneys representing
oh,
the other?
Oh yes, owners? No. Why don't you okay. come on up? To come on up.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yes. Yeah, but you can introduce yourself. Yeah.
My name is Brittany Wu. I represent the Dowling Family okay. 2000 Trust. Okay. I think one of our questions, I guess, is I know that you just talked about quitclaim and yeah. your interest, but will the subdivision be happening before the quitclaim?
You know, I don't think the board is familiar with the subdivision. Maybe staff is, but.
Candace is saying no.
Candace?
We are not planning on participating in the subdivision. Our position to begin with was we would quit claim any interest the state may have in the abandoned roadway over to the parties that wanted to participate. And then what they did with it after that was up to them. So we weren't even sectioning off certain sections to certain parties.
Okay. And I guess that's going to be a question with the county, because your subdivision request is going to the county.
Yes.
You're going to have to apply. So the question is, will the county require will the county accept the subdivision when there's no, when the, there, you know, the owners and the state takes a position as the county doesn't sign off?
Okay.
Sorry, I know this is not necessarily what you wanted, hoping to have happen here.
We'd like to know for the record, and maybe just a brief discussion, but we'd cite to HRS 171-52C says remnants or portions thereof may be disposed by the Board of Land and Natural Resources without recourse to public auction in the matter set forth herein. In the event that one abutting landowner lacks access to a street, that would be the Kanehailuas and Solomons in this case, and such access can be secured by disposition of the remnant, such remnant shall be first offered for sale to such abutting owner or subdivided so as to protect the access of all abutting landowners. So we did think that pursuant to the statute, it could be maybe, I'm not familiar how the mechanics would be, but during the survey and conveyance, these could be broken up into two lots because it is roadway lot one and lot two currently under the prior disposition. So if they could be surveyed and then effectively subdivided in that process, then we could take that to the county and have it stamped by them and blessed because the county is also agreed to work with us in this process.
I think the challenge for us is if it falls under 171, then we are presuming that it is public land. And we're taking the legal position and one that we have as a matter of policy said, there's two types of roadways, government roads. It's either DOT or it's the county. So in this case, it's not considered remnant land under DLNR's jurisdiction.
Also, for the record, Derek Kobayashi is here representing the Dowling Valley 2000 Trust.
Did not mean to be disrespectful.
Don't worry.
Trying not to address the good care.
Ask them. Yeah. Mama Kim, excuse me. Do you guys want to take a little break and confer?
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Yeah,
so much.
Yeah. And then we'll move on to the agenda.
Yes.
And when you guys are ready, let
thank
us know.
You.
Okay. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Just a question. Is there a third legal counsel representing the Kanehailuas?
No, there's not. And however, I've spoken with them numerous times. I made it clear I'm not their legal representative. But they do understand what's going on and they have agreed that I can speak, not necessarily on their behalf, but inform you that they support this process.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner, for the
thank you.
For the, great.
Okay, now, roads in limbo, hard question. All right. Sagey, item D2.
Item D2, this is the issuance of right of entry permit to Kaikeha Inc. for their 8th annual Garden Island Boogie Board Classic for the dates of July 17th to the 19th, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I believe they're only using about 40 square feet, so a few tents for $12.
It probably took us. Cost us more to process it.
It did.
Okay. But thank you very much, Sadie. Board members, do you have any questions for staff? Yes.
Right. You know, I had emailed you and Lauren about this item.
Yes.
And it seems inconsistent that Kauai, if they have bodyboard meets and stuff, they ask for use of portions of the beach for their event. But none of the other events on Hawaii Island or Maui or Oahu do the same thing. It just seems kind of inconsistent to me. Also, what I shared was, I don't really think this should be a board matter. I think it's probably something you can delegate to the chair to decide.
Right.
You know, these kind of events, they're usually on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
And they probably don't end up holding the event on the day because it's sort of surf dependent. And so, I mean, there are certain things about this where they're asking for a certain date. But there may not be any surf, but then this doesn't allow them to have it the next weekend.
You know what
I mean? So I just rather simplify things, but you know, Eddie Aikau doesn't come before us. You know, what no Hine Oke Kai does.
Right.
You know, so I just think it should be a little consistent, but I don't think it really needs to come to the board, because then if they don't make a cycle on us, then they can't hold their event,
right?
That kind of stuff. So okay. I'm open to that, whatever you.
Okay. Yes, we're taking it to our district land agents on different islands and getting their buy-in before we present it to
chair. I appreciated the work of Sage.
Okay, and on this issue, I know it's only a small portion of the beach that is being yes. utilized, because there's hardly any beach there. Yeah. It's right on the road.
Right.
Well, so. I think your larger question about can we delegate this yeah. to the chair, I think let us confer with the yeah. AG's office, because yeah. all dispositions are generally deferred to the board, but I'm not too sure if we can delegate the, I mean, I totally get it. It makes a lot more sense. It's probably more efficient and provides flexibility to the applicant, especially for events that are subject to weather
yeah. mm-hmm.
or surf. So, no, totally get that. Okay, but pending that, do I have any members from the public here on item D2? Do I have anybody on Zoom, Tasha? I'll close public comments. Board members, do I have a motion on item D2?
Motion to approve staff's recommendation is submitted.
Okay. Motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation on item D2 as submitted. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Let's move on to item D3.
D3 is an issuance or revocable permit and immediate right of entry to the Vilsack Foundation for commercial parking purposes. It's the lot next to the old Sai Street Inn on Kapahulu. It's currently a parking lot. We have members of Vilsack Foundation here with us if you have any questions.
Chair, I have a question.
Yes, please.
So, CG, how many stalls are on that busy lot?
Very do you have?
And only because I'm looking at the permit of only $6,000. How many stalls are there?
Good morning, Barry Chong, Land Division. At this moment, I don't have a specific count, but I would imagine that it's about in the order of 60, 60.
Thank you.
Is it close? 60.
Exactly. I'm just trying to look at the valuation in relation to the permit.
The rent that we propose, basically, because that parcel, we have two users at that moment. One is the High Five Redemption mm-hmm. Center, which they yeah. got the right of the LP immediately mm-hmm. after the expiration of the original lease. So we were just using the same unit rate for the next door half of, can I say half, portion of the parcel used by High Five mm-hmm. Redemption Center.
Would you, in follow up to Board Member Demisisiri Matsubar's question, would the appraised value be different given that this is a commercial and they're generating revenue? Would your appraisal be based upon a different calculation?
Actually, if I recall correctly, when the lease was still effective before the expiration, we were charging commercial rate.
I see.
So at the end of the lease expiration, because we still have to figure out the concession arrangement, sale, so we just use the same commercial unit rate mm-hmm. over the respective square footage mm-hmm. of both sides to come up with the respective number.
And is it reflective of the market commercial rate in that area?
I don't have an answer to that, to be honest. Remember, we did hire an appraiser to determine the upset rent for the upcoming concession. Mm-hmm. We noticed that it's a little bit high, and it's a little bit higher than the current one that we're asking. But we're still having some discussion with the appraiser, put it this way. So mm-hmm. I think this is the staff look at it as an interim measure, because we need to put someone out there mm-hmm. to manage the area, mm-hmm. to continue to run the parking, to serve the community. So mm-hmm. I think we are fine. Our recommendation is fine for this interim measure. Of course, if the board dictated, okay, let's do another study of the rent. We can, and we think, but the reason the applicant, I think they either they close the sale or they're in the process of closing the sale, so they're ready to move in, and the former tenant of that highway dredging building, they're moving out, so we need to put someone on the property to maintain the parking. So and that's the reason why we propose the rent. That this,
as I understand it, Barry, this is sort of an interim measure, an immediate right of entry. Are you proposing to come in with a longer term lease?
Actually, we did.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We right after the right before the lease expired, we came to the board and asked for authorization to come up with a concession bid for parking. We got the approval. I think we were working on it, and then recently we were approached by the city, the Department of Transportation Services, because they want to pick up that parcel to use as a, I don't know, mobility hub. Something like that. So we thought, oh, okay. But after we had some internal discussion, I think we will still go for the concession contract, because we always can put down a withdrawal clause in the contract. If it's, we can withdraw for public purpose, provided with sufficient notice, because we don't know when the city will be coming with it, when they will be ready to start breaking ground and use it for that mobility hub.
Okay. Any other questions, board members? Yes, Riley.
Maybe it's for the applicant. I had more a question about the parking operations.
Okay. Would the applicants like to come up to the table? Eric? You can introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chair. Welcome back, members of the board. Eric Robinson. I'm counsel for the Vilcek Foundation, and I'm joined by Mr. Rick Kinsel, the foundation's president.
All right. Questions?
Yeah. We deal with parking issues a lot, especially at Ulawai Small Boat Harbor. Okay. And the consistent feedback we receive is that sometimes the method of enforcement is kind of predatory, and that people pay something online. They don't really have like a parking meter that says your time has expired. But as soon as that time is expired, there's a tow truck pulling the car out. And it just reflects poorly on everybody, including the owner of the land. So I'm just wondering how you guys enforce that, because I know there's a bar next door and stuff, and it's parking is a premium in the area. So I just hope it's done in a fair manner.
I think that's a great, great point, great question. I'm familiar with the issues at Ulawai Harbor. I don't think we're in the same sort of situation here. The Vilcek Foundation is still waiting to close on the parcel next door, so they don't have any practices currently in place. My understanding, you know, if they're able to get the RP issued going forward, is to not do overnight parking as a general matter. But I don't think you guys have plans of setting a policy for having a tow truck out there waiting for as soon as people's permits expire on that. And with respect to the current rate that's in place, as member Sari Matsubara asked, this is more or less a continuation of the current RP that's in place. So the monthly rent that is in place is the same as that. And I believe that does go up annually during the annual RP renewals.
Any other? Oh, go ahead.
Well, so you're not operating the parking there now, but you intend to.
If we're able to get the RP, correct. So the seller of the next door parcel that the Vilcek Foundation is acquiring is WSC Capital. They're the prior RP holder. Okay. And I believe that was just terminated once they finished their phase one environmental.
Okay. Okay. So you're acquiring the building and the parking lot?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Two separate transactions.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Acquiring
okay.
the building.
The building.
Okay. Okay.
Parking lot, I hope to.
Okay. Okay.
So your intent is to run paid parking on this lot, or?
To continue the paid parking that's there. Going forward, may want to also add in some exhibition space or something to showcase local arts. So part of the Vilcek Foundation's mission is to really elevate arts and sciences, in particular kind of immigrant experience and indigenous cultures. And Mr. Kinsel here can definitely speak much more eloquently on the foundation's mission if the board has questions. I think there are some visions for what it could be, but for the time being, keep it parking. And I think going forward, parking as well, and maybe showcasing some arts and culture there.
Okay. So if you continue the parking, what is your process of enforcement, and how does somebody pay, and how do they know when their time has expired? You know, all those operational issues.
I'm envisioning right now, I think where you're going is kind of like the zoo parking lot where you get a text message when it's expiring. Is that sort of the question you're getting into, Member
Something so
Smith?
that the patron knows. Yeah.
There's nothing set in stone from what I can. There's
Yeah.
like
I
different
think.
ways to go about it. I'm reading up on it now. There's high tech and low tech, and there's
My concern is just make sure that you let the people that park know when their time has expired so they don't walk out of the business and their car is gone. And instead of getting like a $5 late payment fee or $10 or whatever it is, they have to get an Uber to the parking lot out at Sand Island to retrieve their car and then pay a $200 towing fee when there could be a penalty or something fair that's assessed. And I think at Alawai, you know, people would go surfing and they go fishing and like the surf was good and they come back in 15 minutes later, their car's gone. And then they don't have anything on them and they got to find their way to go find their car. And then they'll only take cash. And so a lot of those things just seem kind of punitive to
You
me.
see the tow trucks lined up at 8:59,
And
ready to
it's
go.
like they have the app that says, well, that stall is expired, tow it now. It just seems real.
If I may, I've had a little bit of personal experience if you've ever gone through Site Street Inn. And the parking, you actually have to put in, there's like a paid machine, and you have to put in your license number. So you get charged based upon how much time you're there. And they now have your license plate number. So I've never seen a tow truck there, but there
Oh,
could
okay.
be. Yeah, it's a
That
very
seems
different.
fair.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
a,
that.
yeah,
There's a system
yeah,
now.
it's a very different than public parkings. This is run by a private concessionaire. But yeah, I mean, you go in there, you put your driver's license, and then they charge you accordingly.
And going in initially, I think the plan is to keep what's
Okay.
there. It's not meant to be a tow truck revenue generating operation. It's not like there's a site agreement or contract with a tow truck company to come in and say, hey, we get a $50 for every car you tow, get on it.
Okay.
Well received.
I'm good.
Questions and comments.
Thank
Okay. Board members, do any of you have any additional
I have a
questions?
follow-up,
Yes.
Chair. I'm sorry for administration. Thank you. So I gather the rate, the $6,100 a month is a continuation of the current rate and everyone's expectation, especially if you're going to do an acquisition, you want to be able to count on those rates. As a fiduciary, for our commercial parcels where we can generate revenue, right? 2019 audit, emphasizing that, we should bring our rates up to market rate. When was the last increase on this property? Have we been keeping up
Actually,
with the annual
yeah, this
increases?
is, as I said, the next door Hi5 Redemption Center that's under the RP. Actually, we land division is planning to come back to the board for the annual RP renewal exercise. So assuming today's request is approved, so we will put the 61, whatever the number, subject to the same renewal exercise that we are planning to come back, I believe, in August this year. So, and if the division consider, okay, we need to do a maybe even a more much more in-depth appraisal to that, we would recommend a higher rate. Or if not, we just apply the normal 3% annual
Increase.
raise to cover the inflation, for example. So, and but at the same time, the renewal process doesn't stop us from only apply the 3%. If the staff believe there's a really a reason justification to raise the rent even higher or lower one way or the other, we would
Well, my
put that
question.
in the upcoming submittal.
So my question is just that, or could I get affirmation? We are looking at a current market analysis to ensure within we're in line, our rates are in line with the current market lease rent for the area. Is that what's going on?
Answer that question. I don't think at this moment we have any commercial analysis, because the number that you have in front of you is basically we borrow the same unit rate when the RLP for the High Five Redemption Center was approved last year under the RLP renewal exercise. So we kind of took the position that we went through the analysis last year, 2025, the annual renewal, and then we're coming up this year again. So if we do think there's a justification to even raise the rent higher, we would. Of course, that's subject to the board, and then the board can say one way or the other to our recommendation in August this year.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I would encourage, I don't know what your interval is for doing market rate analysis of the commercial lease rent. Is it annual? Is it every 2, 3 years?
I think last time we did was on the RP, I believe it was 2018. We set up a whole bunch of what we call a, let's say, benchmark for this selective one. And then subsequently over the past, plus or minus 10 years, so we came back to the board and asked, we rely on the 2018, we kind of slowly catching up the 2018 market rent by then. But at the same time, I can tell you that the 2018 report, the assessment, didn't cover all the RP. We covered some of them, the maybe the likely that high ticket, a little bit higher rent. So, but other RP, we have just the utility easement, just relatively minimal in terms of rental. But we did cover that in 2018. But whether we need to do another commercial analysis, I think I have to defer to my
I'm actually working on it right now.
Thank
It's
you.
through a professional services contract.
Thank you.
See,
Yeah, so this is a,
it's just
I'm really glad to hear that. This is a busy lot. This is
right.
a busy area.
Right.
It has a lot of potential. So I would encourage that, and then encourage a communication with the potential buyer, so that they can factor it into their projections and their budgets. But I think it's fair. This is a good opportunity for this division. And I think as a regular basis, we should do a regular analysis of the market.
Yes,
Just as a side note, even if we going for the concession contract for parking, the adjoining owner, they can turn in a bid to be, so if they it is their business decision to have a much more control under the concession agreement signing with the state, definitely they can, they're more than welcome to submit a bid and participate in the sealed bid process.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Good questions. Yes,
One
ready?
other comment for staff. So, say,
Yes.
Gino, on the write-up, you guys
Yes.
had a link in here that's showing map of subject property.
Right.
If folks are looking at this in a hard copy, they're not going to be able to access that. And I had an electronic copy, and I couldn't pull up the map.
Oh, okay.
But Patty sent it to me, so I ended up getting it. But I'm
Yes.
just letting you know that I.
You're fixing it.
Oh, okay, cool. I mean, just like DOFA, you know, if you send a picture, it just makes it simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
I'll make note of that.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Comments. Is there anybody else, any other questions, board members? Okay, thank you. Is the applicant, do you want to add anything more than what we've already asked?
Morning, Chair, members of the board, Eric Robinson. Nothing further to add, but happy to address any other questions the board may have.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the boardroom that would like to provide a comment on item D3? Is there anyone on Zoom? I will close public comment at this time. Board, do I have a motion for item D3?
Motion to accept staff's recommendations as submitted under this item D3. Okay.
A motion has been made. Do I have a
Second.
second? Motion has been made and seconded to approve item D3 as recommended by the staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes with 7 votes. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Eric.
Yep, that's great. Thank you.
We'll move on to item D4.
Item D4, I'm again deferring to Candice Martin, our district land agent.
Okay, so this is for our Yamada base yard lease. May last year, we came to the board to get a 1-year holdover allowing Yamada to do all of their investigation and due diligence on trying to go for one of the direct leases. And they have taken the year to do such. In that time, we have not received any communications from anyone else interested in leasing the property. I think last year in the write-up, we had talked about Deleuze, who was a sublessee that may have been interested, and they have since decided no, they don't want to. So I have their application packet and haven't had the chance to go through it. It's been a busy year, lots of changes. So I am now reviewing it, but the holdover expired on, I believe, the 19th of this month or something. Yeah, I think it was the 19th. And so what I'm asking for is to put them on an RP as an interim measure between now and when I come back to the board with the full proposal for a direct lease.
But you're also asking, as a non-action item, the public hearing.
Correct.
Is this a public hearing before the board today, or you would ha be having a separate public hearing?
This is a public hearing
Okay.
before the board today.
Okay. All right.
The second one will be when I come back to with the full proposal.
Okay. Board members, any questions on item D4? Right?
Morning, Candice. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. And I had asked Candice a bunch of questions. I just wanted to make sure that her responses end up in the record. Candice, you want to comment about the IWS compliance system, the removal bond, and that the applicant is in good standing?
Yes. So the property currently has an IWS system, and my understanding is that they are wanting to revamp some of their bathroom situations, possibly adding another one. So they're going to do the full upgrade on the IWS system, bring it up to current compliances. And the removal bond is to continue. We had required that for the 1 year holdover. And so I'm asking that that removal bond continue. And they are in compliance with real property tax, rent, insurance, and bond.
And then Candice, you'd commented on their adjacent property quarry license with DLNR.
Oh, correct. They are also in compliance with all of the land license terms and conditions.
I'm good.
Thank you, Candace. Board members, is there anybody else that has a question for staff? Is there anyone in the public in the boardroom that wants to provide testimony on item D4? Is there anyone on Zoom, Tasha? Oh, Shelby Yamada. Hi, Shelby. Nice to see you again.
Hi there.
Okay. Do you want to provide any additional information?
No, nothing else to provide. Just available for questions if there are any.
Thank you very much for being here. All right, board members, I'm going to close public comments, seeing that there's no other requests. Do I have a motion on item D4?
It's a non-action item. Do we
Well,
need a motion or?
no. So
Non-action
we're
is for the
yeah,
public hearing.
so we're just going to approve what
That this is a
the
public
yeah.
hearing.
This is a public hearing. So I don't think you need to approve that, right? We
No.
just
Then we have to approve the revocable permit,
yes,
though, because that
that's what they're
expired. Oh,
asking. Yeah.
yeah.
So this the public hearing is a non-action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're approving a recommendation to approve the revocable
Right,
permit.
the month-to-month revocable.
So
Yes.
moved.
Second.
Okay. Board members, the motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation on item D4. And noting that this meeting here is the first public hearing request, but there's no action to be taken on that. So, all in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. And
Thank
Monica,
you, Board.
thank you very much, Candace. I'm going to do item D5 first, if you don't mind.
Okay, so item D5, saving.
D5 is an issuance of immediate right of entry permit for access and grant of perpetual non-exclusive easement to Tiffany Jane Parker and Kathleen Sheila Cooley for access and utility purposes in Hanapepe Waimea, Hawaii. These applicants purchased a lot that is landlocked and need this easement.
They purchased a landlocked parcel.
I don't know what the process was.
But yeah, I didn't think that was permitted.
They need this easement to access their property. The immediate way would be a right of entry while we work on the easement.
Okay, then I can confirm with you. This was a parcel that we had originally leased out to Billy DeCosta, and then it was permit was revoked. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning, Stephen Domingo, Land Division. Welcome back, Chair.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Yes, so this was one of the parcels that was being, you know, to the RP, to DeCosta, and then we had to, or they requested to cancel it. So this is one of the parcels because that RP covered two.
Two parcels. Yes. Covered parcel five and 37.
Yeah. And to answer Chair Chang's question, my understanding was way back when this was not landlocked, and over the decades, it, subdivisions and stuff happened, and it eventually became landlocked on paper. Mm-hmm. And this request was from a previous the previous owner, mm-hmm. But because they recently sold it, I think it closed February this year. So now we have the request going to the current owners.
Yeah, I thought we couldn't. There's not supposed to be any landlocked parcels, but okay. Okay, thank you very much, Stephen, for answering
the question. On the that parcel to where the easement is actually going to go. I know there's a lot of trash that is being dumped there and squatters moving in.
Yeah.
Has that been taken care of?
We're going to be presenting something separate for the board in a month or so. We will be addressing that. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions, Board Member Ryan?
Yeah, Stephen, can you just comment? In my day job, sometimes we have to manage tenanted properties that end up becoming vacant. So I just want to get your perspective on the complications when you have vacant land that you don't have an occupant on, and the amount of effort it takes to handle homelessness, vagrancy, rubbish, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I'm learning personally myself, and we happened to go out to this property a month or two ago, and it is a little further out from the office, and it is a little isolated, and it's hard to maintain when we have limited staff, and it's hard to keep an eye on everything. So it is really helpful to have people that are willing to watch the properties for us and help us maintain it, and it saves us time and money. We can use those efforts elsewhere. Yeah. So,
and I think for this RP, they are going to build a fence around.
No, that's going to come later. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But
so right now it's just the immediate right of entry so that they can secure their own property, and then just to access their property. Yeah.
But I would like to make a comment, Riley, on your comment. That was one of the things that. I mean, we had a state auditor's report. We had a house investigation report talking about the need for Land Division to do, especially site visits, that we were not generating sufficient revenue, that we had a lot of, we had enforcement issues with terms and conditions. So I've had an opportunity to talk to Seiji, and I think he is, not being overwhelmed, but looking at it in a very constructive way and trying to do a lot of the things that to get these leases up to date, to do site inspections, to determine whether they're in compliance. So I was very encouraged by Seiji's enthusiasm and his staff's.
I have one more question.
Yes.
At one time, it was identified as possibly an Act 90. Do you know if this particular parcel, 37 anyway?
As of right now, I don't think it was part of the Act, or it's I can follow up with Dad on that, but I don't think this was in this discussion. I think because of the problems around the area.
You know, final comment. So, you know, if you have income property and you get a lot of money or you get less money, if you have vacant property, you get no money, but you have operating costs to maintain it. So you really want to make sure you have continuous occupancy of the property so that you don't get in the negative and have to pay to maintain property, rent it to someone who will fulfill those services, which you do know. So I'm totally in support of what you guys are doing on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that being said, is there anyone in the boardroom who wants to provide a comment on item D5? Is there anyone on Zoom that wants to provide? I see Tiffany
Tiffany.
Parker. Tiffany, would you like to provide a comment? Testimony?
Hello. Tiffany Parker. Nobody's in the room with me. I just wanted to say thank you for your efforts to begin to clean up around this neighborhood. I know it's been a big problem. We live across the way here, and there's been some scary times just watching the influx of rubbish and everything, and I'm really thankful to be a part of cleaning it up and making it usable ag again. It's a good thing for all around us.
Thank you for being here and thank you for your good efforts. And we are, you know, confident that with, as Board Member Smith talked about, having presence on the site is really important to ensure that, you know, we don't have to have larger maintenance issues. So thank you, Tiffany, for your participation in this meeting. Is there anybody else on Zoom that would like to provide testimony? Seeing none, I'm going to close public comments on this. And board members, do I have a motion on D5?
Motion to approve as recommended by staff.
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item D5. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, thank you very much. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on next. Thank you very much. Let's go back to item D2. D2?
One of
No,
D1.
D1. D1. Mauna Kea, if you and legal consultant, legal want to come up.
Yes, thank you, Chair, Commissioners. We've spoken together, and it's my understanding. I'll let Ms. Wu add anything as well, but the parties do agree to move forward today. If you could approve the item as agendized, and then we'll work together with regard to further subdivision. And I'll let Brittany speak to it more detailed, but I do believe that her client noticed either an error or some kind of mistake in the prior survey, and then a new survey may be required or something like that.
That is correct. We saw that the 2018, our client noticed the 2018 survey, it's incorrect and doesn't reflect the both parts of the 1958 land swap. So we would request that a new survey be done before any deed
And it's just
be
the
issued.
housekeeping, I think it's best.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to this?
Thank you so much.
I don't
Welcome back,
think
Chair.
you. Thank you very much. Good to be back too. I guess board members, I would want us on the recommendations. I know a motion hasn't been made yet, but it references Chapter 17152 as the basis upon which one of the findings that we are going to issue this. In order to address the issues that we raised, that it's a 264, it's a DOT roadway, I would recommend that we delete the reference to 17152. That is not a remnant.
Chair,
Yes.
accept the recommendation, motion to move and striking any reference to 171.
You made a motion. Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation with the amendments related to removal of all references to 171. Okay, thank you very much. Let's call for the vote. I can do that one again. Okay, all in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much for being here.
Well, have a good week.
Mahalo.
We're going to move.
Okay.
We're going to take a little 5-minute break and then we'll come back. We are back in session, and we're now going to move on to the E items on state parks. Alan, nice to see you. Item E1.
All right. Good morning. Still morning. Good Chair, morning. Board still members. Morning.
Yes.
Nice to see you back in your center appointed seat, Chair. Alan Carpenter, Acting Administrator for the Division of State Parks. We have three items before you today, reduced from four. We'll come back with the fourth. We had a little clerical
and
error.
Item E4.
Correct. So all of them are related to recreational residence leases in Kokei Waimea Canyon, informally known as the Kokei Cabins. And the first one is a mutual cancellation of general lease number SP0136 to Ruth Elizabeth Picard, Lot 22, Kokei Campsite Lots in Kokei State Park. The lessee and us have agreed, she is advancing in age, does not have a family member she would like to transfer the lease to. Everything she has done is in conformance with the lease. She's in good standing. We've inspected the premises, they're in very good condition. And we would also like to ask the board, and that'll be for all of these cases, the lease has a provision to, upon transfer or cancellation, to have the lessee conduct a phase one environmental assessment, which is, we think it's onerous to have that for it's a cabin use for occasional use. It's not a commercial, not an industrial use. We don't believe that any of these lots have the potential for any sort of environmental contamination based on the character of use. If we did, we would enforce that, but we are asking the board also to waive that provision. It just seems like a bit much to ask for these lessees.
Questions, board members?
Yeah. Karen? So the environmental assessment you're going to take out for all cabins. So it's going to be taken off of the leases.
We aren't amending the leases at this point. So we retain and reserve the right. It's possible that it could happen. There's 100 leases up there. But in the cases, all three cases today, we're asking for waiver. Okay. Honestly, we haven't typically enforced it in the past.
Okay. The cancellation date is February.
Cancellation date is, I think, as of
effective immediately. Effective
today.
And the inspection in February.
So she already has removed all of her personal belongings and cleaned the premises, and we've done the inspection. But I don't think it cannot be official until you guys approve.
Okay. And her payments are current through December?
They're current through December.
Can we waive that?
We're planning on prorating the rent, yes.
I would like to come. I appreciate the cancellation versus, transferring it. That this is
right. Yeah. So, and good point, Chair. What this particular board action will do is set a new paradigm for how we are going to lease these cabins in the future, based on Act 225 passed not this current session, but last year's session. All future dispositions of available cabins will now be via a public lottery process rather than an auction. If any of you remember, we had an auction in 2023 of 7 available cabins, and the prices they were astronomical. It created a lot of fear amongst the community about the affordability moving forward. So a law was passed last year to fix that, and our intent, of course, these are public trust resources, to put them into the hands of Kauai residents when possible, in a fair process moving forward. And this, so we will have 1 year from this date to create that public lottery process for this cabin and any others that come back to us in the year.
Okay, so what do you do in between that period, that 1 year period?
We have our staff will be maintaining the lot and the cabin in the interim.
Okay, so you can put it in your rental.
No, we don't. We're not going to rent it.
You're just
going to
maintain
term,
it,
right? We're going to maintain it pending the next disposition.
Because that's a long time for it to remain.
Well, unfortunately, the previous ones remained for much longer and deteriorated. So, but we will be paying attention to it and keeping it in its current condition. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
a new process. I believe the attorney for Ms. Picard is also on the line, Michael Scarborough.
Yes, okay. Michael Scarborough.
Let me make a disclaimer first before Mike starts. Mike is my legal counsel for my own property, and it has nothing to do with any of the issues that are being brought here before you guys.
And when you say your property, it's not a Coquet
property. It's not a Coquet property. Okay. I don't own anything up in Coquet, thank God. Okay. And don't
conflict. Conflict.
Okay. Mr. Scarpo, do you want to add anything?
I have nothing to add. If the board has any specific questions, Ms. Picard is sorry that she couldn't be here to answer anything specifically, but she had an injury and suffered a concussion, so she's kind of down.
Well, we appreciate your presence and willingness to answer any questions. Board members, do you have any questions of either staff or Mr. Scarborough? Yep.
Alan, a couple questions for you. Yes. So I'm comfortable on the waiving the phase one environmental site assessment, as long as there's something in the file that says it's based on your site inspection of the property,
okay,
know, rather than we're just deciding to waive it. Yeah,
understood.
And then I think these properties, they're permitted to have a cesspool, right?
Yeah,
they are grandfathered in with cesspools. Virtually all of them have them. So they are presently, it's legal for a single family residence through 2050 per current state statute.
Okay. So
we are looking at conversion of all of those. And we started down that road. We got some green fee money to at least start the designs. And, we will try to get all those done long before 2050.
Okay. But I just wanted to clarify, whereas there are a lot of industrial properties in Hilo, because of the nature and the flow of their wastewater, they're obligated to comply with the large capacity cesspool EPA requirement. But this is on agriculture or conservation land, and cesspools are permitted in these areas.
Cesspools are permitted because it's not a large capacity. So large capacity cesspools, I think as of 2015, had to be converted. And you know, we had a whole bunch of those system-wide,
yeah.
But okay. this falls into the category of a single-family residence, which okay. does not fall into the large capacity
system. As long as that's in the record somewhere. And then the last one. So you mentioned about how you're trying to navigate this lottery system and to try to enable Kauai residents to have some kind of priority or something. How are you going to do that?
It is embedded in the statute.
Yeah,
it is.
It is embedded in the statute. Yep.
So if you have a lottery and you have one pool of Kauai residents, and then if nobody's successful, then you go to the non-Kauai residents.
Yeah, it was a tiered system before, even when it was an auction process. Okay. Tier one was always Kauai residents. Okay. We never got to tier two. Okay. I don't expect we will here.
I think I really support that. You know, this is a Kauai asset, you know, residents, and then they're going to take care of it better because they live there, right?
Yeah, but thank you for that. It'd be nice if we had these on all islands.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think, did I neglect to? Oh, never mind. We're not amending the end date on this one. It'll be the next one.
So I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions, board members of staff or Mr. Scarborough? Is there anybody else in the public who would like to provide a testimony on Zoom? Okay, I'm going to close public comments. Board members, do I have a motion on item E1?
I have a motion. I make a motion to approve staff's recommendation, but can we also say that the effective date is today, the board's effective date, and that the remaining fees will be prorated until the end date, right, till May. So it's not going to carry over through December.
Yes, so that's an amendment you're proposing. Okay.
Yeah.
We intended to do so, but did not include it in the
session. But I'm amending it so that you have to.
Understood.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation as amended. All in favor, please say aye. Raise your hand. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. E2?
Okay. E2 and E3 are both lease reassignments, right? In E2 is a consent to assign general lease SP0138 from Rick Ralston and Jim Romig to Rick Ralston. Lots 31 and 32, Coquet campsite lots, Coquet State Park. And secondarily, the housekeeping that we have to do every time we bring one of these, which was going to be the subject of E4. Approval to amend the lease to correct the termination date to December 31st, 2028. When these leases were all promulgated, all had defective, had the wrong date. There were 21-year leases, and by law, they can only be 20. So we've been correcting them one at a time. Now we will correct them wholesale with a future submittal. And so in this case, Mr. Romig is deceased, and so he's simply being removed from the lease per his estate. And it will go simply from two tenants to one. Mr. Rick Ralston will be the sole tenant. And I think we have Kimo Romig on, as well as Lisa Riddell, the attorney.
Staff, thank you. I mean, board members, do you have any questions for staff before we open it up for public comment?
Apologies. We are also asking to waive the phase one environmental assessment. Okay. All right. Okay. It's going to be common theme throughout. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. So seeing no comments from board members, is that Lisa? I have Lisa and Shane. Let's take you, Lisa, first. Would you like to provide a public testimony?
Hello, Chair, board members, and Mr. Carpenter. I'm here on behalf of Shane Romig and Justin Romig, personal representatives of the estate of Jim Romig. And I have nothing to add to the testimony we've already submitted. If you folks have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
Okay. Thank you very much for your presence. Shane Romig, Shane Kimo Romig, did you want to provide us any additional comments?
No, I'm just here to answer any questions if things come up, but I think we're all good. Okay. No, thank you.
Thank you for being participating. Is there anybody else on Tasha that on Zoom that want to provide comments? I'm going to close public comments. Board members, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve as amended, removing the environmental assessment.
I'll second it, but Karen, you're waiving the requirement for a phase one based on
their recommendation.
Site inspection. Okay. Second that.
A motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation with the amendment or the additional language to be added to the phase site assessment. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay. Motion passes with 7 votes. Thank you. Item D3.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
D3 assignment. Consent to assign general lease number SP0103 from Don A. Carswell and Gail F. Carswell to Kelly Carswell Hanneberg, Karen Carswell Guest, and Christopher D. Carswell, Lot 61, Coquay Campsite Lots, Coquay State Park. And secondarily, approve to amend the lease to correct the termination date from the previous and
same thing
to waive the phase one environmental assessment. In this case, long-term lessees, parents are both deceased. The estate, they want to pass it to their 3 children.
I have a question for you. So this is two that deceased parties involved. So in the list that's coming up, you'll probably have more. I'm sure you'll have more.
Lead property manager, Brigida Aysen. Will we have more?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really amazing that we went through how many years and these people have been deceased for a while now.
Right.
And we're just catching up now.
We are catching up now. It's also, you know, it shows that these are generational cherished assets, right? And in some cases, the families who built them 4-3 generations ago, their descendants are carrying on and taking care of the same
kind. And I think we need to be more proactive in letting them know that, you know, it doesn't just go to the next person who's in line, that they have to be part of that assignment as well, right? As it moves on.
Well, our most recent policy, we're essentially only allowing transfers within the family so that we can open up more opportunities to new families to get in.
So can I ask you, Alan? This is not a termination. Nope. This is an assignment. So why? So why would phase one be triggered?
It's a condition of the lease.
So whenever
which, again, I don't particularly feel it's a necessary one, which is why we're asking for this. Mm. Perhaps in the next go around when we start promulgating new leases in 3 and 5 years, we might have a different provision. Okay.
Chair, can I clarify? So what is the trigger for a phase one? Because this is not a new lease.
It's not.
Oh, it's a reassignment. So
reassignment is one of the triggers.
Oh, okay. Under your rules, your admin rules?
Under the lease conditions.
Oh, lease condition. Oh, so it's just a condition term of the lease.
Correct.
Okay. Not an admin rule.
Not an admin rule.
Changeable then.
Yes. If I may, I think that I think it's more of a standard land division type of term that got
carried
incorporated
over
into state parks. We have a very different management scheme and very different types of dispositions, which are often, you know, land use, occasional public use. I think it brings up a larger issue that we need to sort of separate ourselves from some of the standards that have been set that are more appropriate for the types of the character of use that we enable.
Well, you now have capacity and you've got a great staff. So, I mean, I think you're right that our forms represented a different time. And we're trying to be much more tailored to the uniqueness of each of the divisions. So, and I appreciate that you guys are working through that and acknowledging those differences and incorporating them in your dispositions.
Yes, thank you for that acknowledgement.
Excellent. So, board members are. Questions.
One of the Carswells, Karen Carswell, I believe, is on.
Okay.
As well as the attorney Ian Jung.
Yes. Ian Jung, and nice to see you. And Karen Carswell, would you like to add anything to the submittal, staff submittal?
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. Ian Jung with Karen Carswell, guest.
Hi.
We don't have any comments or questions, but I think it's an important point that board member Ono pointed out that there is a process that we need to go through for at least probate to get these cleanups so these cabins can transfer down to respective family members. So there's probably going to be a few more of these before you folks.
Okay. I guess we'll be seeing him more often then.
Okay.
And welcome back.
Thank you, Ben. Nice to see you too, Ian. Thank you. So is there anybody else on Zoom, Tasha? I will close public comments. Board members, do I have a motion on item D3?
Motion to approve as recommended.
No, I'm sorry, F3.
E3.
Motion to approve as recommended by staff.
Thank you very much. A motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation on item D3. All in favor, please say E3. All in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Ian and Karen, for being present.
Thank you
for your consideration.
Thank you. So, and we will just note for the record that item E4 has been withdrawn, but it will come back to the board.
It will come back soon.
Very good. So, okay, let's move on to items. Yeah.
Thank
you. Is that you, Luna?
Okay. I'm stepping in. I think Brian's going to be there. He is.
All right. Okay.
Okay. So, Chair, board members, Luna Kikoa here to present on behalf of the Division of Aquatic Resources. So actually the first six items are all very similar. We're just requesting approval for a federally funded project agreement between the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Research Corporation of the University of Hawaii, RCUH, for the Division of Aquatic Resources research projects. So the different, we have six of them. So investigation of Hawaiian estuaries, statewide marine resource monitoring and outreach, Hawaii Marine Recreational Fishing Survey, the Waiakea Public Fishing Area Fishery Monitoring and Enhancement Project, Community-Based Monitoring Hui Expansion, and the Limu Aquaculture and Biobanking. So all similar contracts that go to RCUH to help us contract folks to implement those projects. And if you have questions, Brian is on Zoom and can answer those as well.
I appreciate the efficiency of sort of grouping them all together, but we'll take
one at a, I figure, yeah.
Okay.
Just give you an overview.
Yes. Very helpful. Brian, did you want to add anything more to Luna's presentation?
Nope. Apologies, I couldn't join in person. I'm at a fisheries meeting today, but happy to take any questions on the agenda items. Mahalo.
Nope. You know, we have been very fortunate to get these federal fundings on these projects, because but for that funding, we would not be able to gather a lot of the data that we're able to. So let's just keep on, be very grateful to this federal funding and hope it continues on. Okay, board members, we're going to take item E1 first, and F1, which is approval of federally funded project. It is specifically investigation of Hawaiian estuaries.
Yep.
Do I have anybody in the boardroom wanting to make a comment? Is there anyone on Zoom? I'll close public comments. Board members, I have a motion for item F1.
So moved.
Thank you very much, Ka'ivi. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor of the motion, please say aye as submitted by staff or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. We'll now move on to item F2. And again, based upon Luna's presentation, it is specifically for statewide marine resource monitoring and outreach. Is there anybody here in the public that would like to provide comments? Anybody on Zoom? I close public comments. Do we have a motion to approve item F2 related to? Thank you very much.
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F2 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously. Similarly, we'll move on to item F3, following up on Luna's overview. This one is specifically to approve related to Hawaii Marine Recreational Fishing Survey. Is there anybody in the room that would like to provide comments? Is there anybody on Zoom? I'll close public comments. Do I have a motion to approve item F3 as submitted by staff?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion that's been moved and seconded to approve item F3 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. Item F4.
Mm-hmm.
Again, thank you, Luna, for your overall presentation. This one is specifically related to funding for Waiakea Public Fishing Area and fishery monitoring enhancement. Is there any questions for staff? Yes.
Luna, I just had a question. So this is the area by the Wailoa boat ramp that goes up by Lagoon Center. Okay. I sort of remember that there was an issue with some of the sediment in the pond and maybe impacted by a prior canic plant or something that happened up on a Nile stream. So the fish is safe to eat, right? You're not aware of anything.
I've never heard that no can eat the fish.
Okay. But then there's signs that if you go in there, it says you cannot go past the certain area.
I can follow up. Brian, I can just check. Do we know? I can text.
Yeah, I'm not aware of that either, but we'd have to follow up with staff and get back to you on that one.
But I know there's a lot of activity in there when I've gone in that area. I mean, there's a lot of fishermen and typically older resident Japanese men. Very important to them. I totally support this. I just want to make sure there's any restrictions or anything like that. I'm good.
So I speak to me. If we was doing this, it wouldn't make sense if we couldn't eat the fish. Like I think of who's over there in Hilo and our biologists, they like do this for eat fish. I'm thinking they like make them for eat fish. That's just me thinking, but I can go find out for sure.
Just let me know. There's plenty of mullet in there. I see them catching mullet.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So you're not suggesting deferring this matter.
No,
just
I just
wait for clarification.
General inquiry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Good enough.
Which I think from reading everything, there was something, if I'm not mistaken, that mentioned that some of these tests would also measure sediment. I cannot
like
tell
water
you
quality
which,
kind.
Yeah, water quality. So
well, I didn't like
sediment.
We've been looking at water quality.
Yeah, I know one of them.
Okay.
For sure.
And this whole area is such a big resource in Hilo. You know, typically kind of rainy, overcast and everything. But do you have an area where young children, their parents, and they have concrete walkways so, you know, they can walk with their kids and their strollers and everything. It's close to the county building, the state building where Candace and Lagoon Center. So it's kind of centrally located. I mean, it's a real resource to the area. Oh.
Sorry.
You want a motion?
Yeah.
I'll get a couple of questions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. Luna, Brian, thank you. So are there measurable outcomes from the prior years on survival rates, catch rates, improvements?
We can ask.
I don't know. If we can ask. And this is a newer project, so we don't have past years to show those outcomes, but that's definitely something we'll track and can provide to the board.
Okay, thank you. And then also, what is the genetic threshold for halting stocking if the hatchery fish compromise wild amama?
Yeah, so we did commission a genetic study of the different amama around Hilo and Big Island, and there's a study available, but basically there was some kind of best practices that came out of that. They did find some samples that came out of smaller ponds that are maybe more disconnected, did have a little bit more genetic inbreeding. Mm-hmm. But the best management practices that came out of that was, you know, making sure that your brood stock is, you know, has good diverse genetics, but also making sure that you're tracking that over time and you're not, you're not introducing kind of dumb hatchery genes into the wild stock. So definitely a genetic diversity plan would be part of any stocking plan that we do.
Great, thank you. One more question, Brian. So are kupuna and traditional Hilo fishermen shaping the project or just being informed of it?
That's a good question. I'd want to chat with staff more for specifics, but you know, our Hilo staff, they are part of the community in Hilo, so I think anything they do, they're fully integrated with the Hilo community and Kupuna. We just finished a series of talk story sessions in East Hawaii, actually around the whole island, and you know, I got to see firsthand just the amazing relationships that our Hawaii Island staff have with the community, but I'll have to get back to you on specifics for that. And Luna, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Again, like the other one, our Hilo team is definitely in green and awesome. Yeah, they're definitely working with community.
And I will attest to that. DAR is one of the divisions that have embraced community outreach, in particular, especially with these very sensitive, they do confer with kupuna from the area and families who have ancestral ties to the area. So I am confident, yeah, that your team, if anybody's going to do engagement, it will be your team. Because they all live in the community and somebody going to talk story to them if they don't.
Our Hilo biologist was going on and talking about the genetics and stuff because there was issues. So they were going on and having these conversations with the community in their community to address those same kind of questions.
Yeah, and I think the concerns, it wasn't related to this specific project. Yeah. It was related to a UH project that was proposing to introduce moi, hatchery-raised moi, to some of the fish ponds, and there were some community concerns, but that also kind of brought up this whole discussion about hatchery raised fish and making sure that they're not going to be harming our wild populations. So there has been quite a bit of dialogue about this concept.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great.
And then I have one more. Is there any part of this project, is there any active conda su suppression?
You mean like eradication? I'm gonna have to check if there's
Yeah,
any.
we've done a little bit of that in the past and have done some outreach as well. Like I think member Ono probably still has her mullet ruler, but there's a ruler that differentiates the ama-ama from the invasive conda just because there was some confusion about like the ama-ama season and just providing the information of how to identify the conda versus the native so that people can harvest those when ama-ama season when you're not allowed to harvest those. So we are encouraging harvest and they are actually delicious, but we're not engaged in any active control now, but we're not taking that off the table either.
Thank you.
Luna, can I just confirm on these submittals, is an EA exemption required for each one of them? I know this, I just saw that there's a request that we declare that there's it's exempt from Chapter 343. Is that for all of them or just because we haven't taken a specific action?
I believe so. I don't know if
Yeah, I just
the
noticed that.
AG could advise on that.
Well, because the staff submittal for this, yes, it is.
Well, the recommendation says,
Yeah, so,
and
okay.
therefore exempt from the
Yep,
preparation
right.
of the environmental
And we
assessment.
approved the staff's recommendation. Okay, good enough. Good enough. Very good. Okay.
We have a motion.
No, well, are there any public comments on item F4? Anybody on Zoom? I'll close public comments. Do I have a motion?
Move that we approve item F4 as recommended by staff.
Okay.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F4 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Item F5. And this is another one. This goes back. This is also one of the RCUH funding.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So Luna provided us an overview. And this one is specifically community-based monitoring HUI expansion.
Yes.
So, with that being said, board members, do you have any questions of staff? Do we have anybody in the public in the boardroom? Do we have anybody on Zoom? I'll close public comments. Board members, so I have a motion on item F5.
So moved.
Thank you very much. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F5 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye. Motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. Item F6 again is associated. Well, Luna provided an overview related to this funding. This one is specifically Limu Aquaculture and Biobanking. Any questions for staff? Is there anybody in the boardroom that wants to provide a comment? Is there anybody on Zoom that wants to provide? I'm going to close public comments. Do I have a motion on F6?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F6 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye. Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Item F7.
Okay, so thank you again. So this item F7 is to request approval for a state-funded project agreement between the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the University of Hawaii for building laboratory and technical capacity for cooperative research between the Hawaii Cooperative Fishery Research Unit and Hawaii Division of Aquatic Resources in support of the Division of Aquatic Resources Management goals. So if you have any questions, Brian's on and we can answer those for you folks.
And in this case, we're using state funds for this. Is that correct?
That's
Yes.
correct. USGS has a national program to provide research services focused on management needs. And so we work with the USGS cooperative unit out of UH Hilo. And so they have two staff members there that are also UH faculty. They and their laboratory, their students provide research services for management priorities for the state. And so this would authorize us to establish an agreement with them, but also provide state funds. And one of the big items on this agreement would be to provide creel surveys. So fisher counts, fisher interviews for Ka'upulehu. When the Tri-Way tenure opens, we want to have staff on the ground counting how many fish come out, how many fishers visit, and this is going to inform fisheries management. So we want to partner with the university and the co-op unit to do this.
Thank you very much for that additional clarification, Brian. Board members, do you have any questions for staff? Is there anybody in the boardroom that wants to provide a comment? Is there anyone on Zoom? I'll close public comments. Do I have a motion?
Move that we approve item F7 as recommended by staff.
Thank you. Do I have a second? The motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F7 as submitted by staff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. Thank you very much, Luna. Thank you, Luna. And thank you, Brian. Okay, we're going to move on to the last item on our agenda, which is item H1. Is that you, Ben?
Yes.
Okay, right. Please come up. And we don't get to see you that often, Ben. Well, so maybe if you can introduce yourself. So
I don't have to. All right, yeah. Okay, aloha, Chair. Aloha, uh-huh. Board members. My name is Ben Lee. I'm the Department's Administrative Proceedings Coordinator. With me is Charles Taylor. Charlie, want to identify yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Charles Taylor. Charlie, I'm at Division of Aquatic Resources, and I'm a program specialist focusing on enforcement and admin compliance.
But you are both lawyers. You both have a legal background.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Right. I'm going to Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing? Or you?
I think it is helpful in the context of this, the role that is being played.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not always a good thing, but in this case,
well, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this submittal is to ask the board's approval to appoint additional hearing officers for the Civil Resource Violation System, the CRVS. Mm-hmm. So the CRVS has been in place for about 16 years. We always have two hearing officers. And last year, with the departure of Mr. Yen Hirakawa, we are in need for another hearing officer at least. But we have been expanding the system in the past. Most notably, in the past 3 years, we added some other divisions, such as State Parks and DOFA,
right,
and DOBOR. And actually, most notably, our DOCARE division. Mm-hmm. So at this time, our DOCARE officers will be able to issue citations in the field. And that has been the case happening, you know, in the past couple of years. In short, we need additional hearing officers. And we also think that it's a good idea to add an outside attorney to mm-hmm. help with certain cases. Most likely, that person will kind of handle cases when Charlie and I will be conflicted out in some cases, dark cases, or some others too. Also, there could be some other bigger cases that could take up much staff time if we have to handle those. So we'd have another person outside to take care of it. And that's been what we've been planning. And, you know, the system has been running well in the past couple of years. And like I said, we're expanding, and we look forward to more active enforcement cases from DOCARE. So that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And I will share that when I came on board, I really pushed this CRVS system. It's almost like a ticket book versus having a contested case hearing. for everything and all the citations or litigation. So I found this to be a real an efficient way for us to do enforcement. And there are more people who generally will pay the fine than litigate or go through contested cases. So this is an effective tool for us to do more enforcement and get fines, but also get compliance. But thank you. So the third person you've listed down is William Winehoff, Bill Winehoff, who was a former deputy AG with the Land Division. Is that
That's
correct?
correct,
Okay.
yes.
So he comes with experience, and he's been a hearing officer in many of our contested cases too, right?
That's correct. And he
Okay.
was the chief of the AG Land Division, who advised the board for many years. So he's quite experienced in DRNR cases. Yeah.
And I will note, we did receive a public comment, a testimony from one individual, but I don't see the individual here. So, and board members, do you have any questions for either Ben or Charlie? Okay, is there anybody here in the boardroom that wants to provide public comment on H1? Is there anybody on Zoom? With that being said, I'm going to close public comments. All in favor of item H1?
We need a motion.
Okay. Okay. Minor detail, minor
Just
detail, minor
sometimes
detail.
we motion,
I
sometimes we
know,
don't vote. Just
Just
checking.
trying to be, we're on a momentum. We got a momentum going here. Oh, you're absolutely right. Would you like to
I
make that
move that we
motion?
approve
Okay.
item H1 as recommended by staff.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been moved and recommend moved and
Seconded.
seconded to approve staff's recommendation appointing three individuals to be administrative hearing officers, Bin Lee, Charlie Taylor, and Bill Weinhoff. All in favor, please say aye or raise your hand. Excellent. That is the last agenda item that we have. You did it right before noon, so we're
Thank you,
doing
Chair.
good. Thank you very much. So, with that being said, having no other business before the board, I am going to adjourn. Thank you
Cool.
very much.
Aloha.
Thank you.
Shall we go back to the conference? Go back, yeah.